and those who served honorably, and those who came home with injury, and we remember them as well. In the days following 9/11, 20 years ago, Alan Jackson sang a song that asked a simple question. Where were you when the world stopped turning that September day? It's a good question, and an easy one to answer if you're old enough to remember the events of 9/11. As hard as it is to imagine, as we think about the fact that this is something that took place 20 years ago, we recognize that in this congregation there are those who were not yet alive when the World Trade Centers were attacked, and those who were young enough that you don't remember it very much. As we watched that video a few moments ago, for some of us it was like ripping off a Band-Aid, remembering the events that took place on that day. For others of us, I hope it was an opportunity for you to get just a taste of what was one of the most horrific days any of us will ever be able to imagine. But if you were old enough, then I can promise you this, you know where you were. You know where you were. I can tell you, I was beginning my day on September 11th by making a visit to our local hospital, about 10 miles away from where I was living. And as I was making my way up and listening to the morning news, the word came out that a plane had hit one of the World Trade Centers. Like a lot of you, my assumption was that somebody's private plane had veered off course and somehow very tragically ended up in one of the centers, but I really never thought about it being anything that would be too critical or too serious. I went into the hospital, I made my visit, I came back out, and I was on my way home again when the news came that the second plane had hit the South Tower. And suddenly we all began to understand America was coming face to face with evil. We recognized that what was taking place was not something accidental and not something happenstance, but a very coordinated and concentrated attack upon America and its people. By the time I got back home, I went not to my office, but to my house, like so many of you, and I turned on my television and began to watch those events that we relived together a few moments ago. Then came the news of the Pentagon being attacked, along with fears that the Capitol would be the next target. Then we heard about Flight 93 crashing in Pennsylvania, having no idea the heroism that was taking place upon that aircraft. And then everything stopped. Do you remember? You know, we think about the pandemic over the last couple of years and thinking about how it stopped everything, how you stopped going to the store and you stopped coming to church. But do you remember how everything stopped after 9/11? Every flight in the country was canceled. Nobody could travel anywhere over the next few days. Sporting events of all kinds canceled because nobody was going to gather in a crowd anywhere. Children were sent home from school. Businesses closed. This is one of my memories of that day. After I had gotten home and after I had watched television and seen the horrific tragedy that was taking place in front of me, I remember driving to our church, and our church faced Broad Street, which was the main street of town in Aliceville. And I just felt compelled to just go in. I opened the front doors of our sanctuary and just propped them open and walked back inside. And people came. Some came alone, some came as families, some came as groups. There were times over the next few days when half the sanctuary would be filled with people coming to pray and to just be close to God and in His house. We never organized a service during those early days. We really didn't have any reason for folks to come, just the sense that people needed to be close to God. And they came. Most of what I did the rest of that week was really two things. One was I spent a lot of time in the sanctuary talking to a lot of people. And I tried to keep up with the news. What do we know? What's going on? What's going to happen next? And those were the things that were on everybody's mind. Everything stopped. When I think about September 11th, two images will forever be burned into my mind. One is one that we saw a moment ago, that huge crowd of debris, stories high, coming down the main streets of New York, and people running in absolute panic to get away, except for the policemen and the firemen who were running into that cloud to try to seek to find and rescue people. I remember that. And I remember that image of President Bush standing on top of a pile of rubble with his arm around a fireman, calling the nation to prayer and to unity. Those will be my abiding images of 9/11. So much was lost on that day. Almost 3,000 people lost their lives. And we were talking a little earlier before the service about how that day came to a point that 3,000 people losing their lives almost felt like a relief. Do you remember early in the day they were saying maybe 25,000 people have died in this disaster? Later it was, well, maybe 10,000 people have died. And by the time we got to the word that 3,000 souls had been taken away, it almost felt like a relief. 412 of those who died would be those first responders who made their way up the towers trying to find and rescue people who were desperately trying to find a way out of that burning building. The two tallest buildings in New York were reduced to nothing. Billions and billions of dollars worth of value were destroyed forever. But one of the greatest losses we experienced as a nation was our sense of American security. You know, until 9/11, we thought that as long as we stayed within the shores of our own nation, we were pretty safe. We had oceans on both sides that separated us away from conflicts that were taking place in other parts of the world. We thought we were immune from the death and turmoil that we saw taking place in other places when we watched the news. The truth is, with a sense of real smugness, we would look at one another and say, nothing like that could ever happen here. We're too safe. And then our sense of safety and security in a single morning was stripped away. And along with all of the destruction was the devastating realization that safety can't be found in what we can do for ourselves. That we're not big enough, wise enough, or strong enough to protect ourselves. The truth is, we need a safe place. Everybody needs a safe place where they can go. You know, often we think about this whole idea of needing a safe place, and we think, in case a tornado comes, in case a hurricane comes by. But the truth is, the world is a very dangerous place. And there's wickedness all around us. And whether we encounter terrorism or war or natural disaster, whether destruction comes to all of us or to each of us personally, we live in a sinful world, and we cannot afford to forget that. And none of us can stand alone. We need to know, where do you turn? When everything falls apart, where do you turn? Where can you find a safe place? Sometimes calamity comes unexpectedly from the sky. Sometimes we bring disaster upon ourselves by the choice and actions of our own personal lives. Sometimes we're worn down by the wear and tear of daily living. Sometimes we're victims of circumstances that are beyond our control. One thing is true of everybody. There are going to be times when the burdens of life are bigger than you are. There are going to be times when you realize that everything you can do is not nearly enough. And we have to ask a question. Where do you turn? When the world stops turning, where do you turn? We can find a lot of answers in the life of the Apostle Paul, because he understood what it means to realize how desperately we need that one safe place. When he was young, Paul was sure that he was already in a safe place. He was convinced that nothing could happen in his life that he wasn't prepared for. As Saul, the young rabbi, he thought he had the world under control. Security was found in education, so he became smarter than anybody he knew. Nobody could ask a question that he couldn't answer, because he had put in the time and effort to learn everything that was possible for anybody to know, especially about how to live a safe, blessed life. Safety was found in accomplishment, so he reached the top while he was still very young. He wanted to be one of those people who, when he walked down the street, people pointed to and said, "You see that young man? He is headed places." Strength was found in religion. So he made it a point to keep all the spiritual rules and felt free to persecute anybody who didn't agree with him. Paul had chosen to place all of his hope for security in what he knew and what he did and who knew his name. And he thought that everything he had done was enough and more than enough. He persuaded himself, "I'm living in a safe world. And I've got it all under control." You know, when you think about it, prior to those jet aircraft flying into the World Trade Centers, most of the people who worked in those buildings felt exactly the same way. I have the world under control. After all, the Twin Towers were massive and strong. They dominated the New York skyline. Nothing could ever happen that would affect those buildings. In fact, about 8 years before, somebody had tried, and it just didn't work. The towers were a safe place to find yourself. Not only that, those buildings were home to some of the most powerful financial institutions in the world. The people who worked there considered themselves the high achievers among their peers. They were always proud to be able to say to others who worked within their company or those acquaintances that they knew, "I work at the World Trade Center." And a window office high above New York was a sign that you had truly arrived. Professional accomplishment, financial wealth, everything people dreamed of. They looked over the skyline and they thought of all of those things that promised them a future of wealth and status and safety and a security, and then discovered in an instant, it's not enough. I'm not saying anything about those folks that I wouldn't say about the rest of us. All of us are tempted to reach those kinds of conclusions about our lives, that we have enough, that we've accomplished enough, that we're respected enough, that we've taken care of ourselves, and nothing bad could really ever happen to us. But we keep on learning that they can. Bad things continue to happen to people. You know, I was thinking just yesterday about some of the things that have taken place around this nation in the years since I've been pastoring churches. You know, I was a pastor when Columbine occurred. I was a pastor during Hurricane Katrina. I was a pastor during the pandemic that we're still trying to emerge from. I was a pastor during 9/11. And time after time after time, we keep telling ourselves, now we're secure, now everything's okay, now nothing bad can happen. But you know what? Yeah, it can. And if you say to yourself, and if I say to myself, I've got it handled, you're going to find out again, no, you don't. Not only have I pastored during those kinds of times, but I've stood beside bedsides of people who were dying. I've been in the scenes of horrific accidents. I've sat down with families that were struggling and falling apart. Bad things can happen on big scales and small scales. And if we place our trust in external things or what we can provide ourselves, those things are never going to be enough when calamity comes. God forced Paul to discover just how helpless he was. He faced the truth on the Damascus Road. You remember what happened to him there. He heard that thunderous voice out of heaven. He saw that blinding light above him. He was struck to the ground. The moment he rose, he discovered he was blind and absolutely helpless in the middle of the wilderness. Instead of being the master of his own fate, he found himself crying out in desperation, "Who are you, Lord? Because I know I need somebody. I need something that's bigger than I am." His confidence was gone. His self-sufficiency had been stripped away. He faced that moment of truth that everybody faces sometime or another. That our lives are going to be affected by things that are beyond our control and our ability to anticipate. We need someone who is far beyond ourselves to keep us safe. Let me tell you, if any of us are going to say anything to God in the world in which we live, we need to be ready to simply say, "Who are you, Lord? Who is Lord in my life?" We can only imagine what was in the minds of those firemen who rushed into those collapsing buildings, to those who went to the point of contact at the Pentagon where smoke and fire was billowing out. What it must have been like not to even be able to see what's going on around you. Not to know what lay around the corner, the floor above you. They didn't know who the survivors were, where the survivors were, or what condition they might find them in. I have to believe there was a prayer in each of their hearts that said something like this, "Lord, I can't see where I'm going. I need you to help me." I'm going to have to trust you. That's a prayer that everybody prays at one time or another. Lord, I'm going to have to trust you with this because it's bigger than I am. You may pray that prayer when you're dealing with unexpected troubles. It may be when you sit beside the bedside of a loved one. It may be when you find yourself facing news in a doctor's office. When you don't know which way to turn in your life. Lord, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what's lying ahead. You're going to have to guide me. And I look around this room this morning and I recognize while there are some of us who have not yet prayed that prayer, there are an awful lot of us that know I've been exactly where that is. I've been at that point where I simply had to say, "God, the only choice I have is to trust you because I can't see what to do next." Paul discovered he never had a safe place until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. He thought he had, But when all of those things were stripped away, he recognized all he really had was Jesus, because that's all any of us really have. It was on the Damascus Road he discovered a Savior to serve. It was there he found unchanging truth. It was there he found real purpose for his life. Understand something. The years ahead were going to be difficult for Paul. Nothing like what he anticipated. As a young rabbi, Saul thought that life was full of nothing but potential. As an apostle, Paul discovered the years ahead are still going to have a lot of challenges. He would never have a place to call home for more than just a little while. More times than not, when he left the city, he didn't choose to go. He was run out of town. His body bore the scars of beatings and stonings and shipwrecks. By the end of his life, he was nearly blind and imprisoned in a home he could not step outside of. But here's the thing. With all that Paul had yet to endure, everyone who knew him thought of him as a man of strength and not a man of weakness. Because his strength didn't come from his circumstances, and his strength didn't come from his physical abilities. His strength came from the Lord. And God used him to change the world. No wonder he declared in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "When I am weak, then I am strong." It's a lesson that we need to learn as well. We needed to learn it in 2001. We need to learn it in 2021. I remember what it was like the next Sunday following that Tuesday disaster. You could not squeeze another person into our sanctuary. It was the same way here, I imagine. And in churches all across America, because always when we suddenly come face to face with our inadequacy, our first instinct is to turn to the Lord. And even people who have not thought about attending church in a very long time find out there's nowhere else that they need to be on that kind of Sunday. People were drawn together and they were drawn to him. The World Trade Center did not divide us. It united us as a nation. And together we turned to the Lord. Somehow we knew he was the only safe place. He's always been the only safe place. He will always be the only safe place. People are always trying to come up with some new way to handle things. But the truth is, there's really only one safe place. Paul revealed it in the passage we read together this morning. He summed it up in five simple words. He said, "To be found in him." That's my desire, to be found in him. And if you're found in Christ, you're safe no matter what may be going on. In Christ, you're safe whatever may be happening to your body physically. In Christ, you're safe no matter what's going on in the world around you. In Christ, you're safe because if you're found in him, you're at the only safe place. Your security is not in circumstances, it is in Christ Jesus. Sooner or later, whatever you're going to depend upon is going to let you down if you're not found in him. It's just that simple. You're here today and you're thinking, "I've got it under control. I can handle it. God is a convenience, but he's not a necessity in my life." Let me tell you something. Sooner or later, you're going to find out there's only one safe place, and his name is Jesus. How do I know that Christ is the only safe place? Christ is the only safe place because your own strength can't stand the test. Paul said, "Not having my own righteousness." In other words, I can't handle this by myself. That was a hard pill for him to swallow, because as a former Pharisee, he knew about depending on your own goodness. He had spent a lifetime trying to keep the rules. Before he met Jesus, he was convinced, I know how to do this. 9/11 graphically reminded us that none of us is big enough or strong enough to handle everything that's going to come our way. You think you have it under control, and then your illusions are shattered. You believe you can handle anything, and then you discover how helpless you really are. You have to depend upon Christ, because your strength is never going to be enough. I know that Christ is the only safe place, because nowhere else you can turn will ever be able to meet your needs. You know, if I had to sum up most of human history, this is what I would say. Most of human history is the story of man trying to discover a way he can live without God. Man trying to find some kind of way that he can make his own way and be his own master. Even the attacks of 9/11 reveal the evidence of what religion can become if Christ is not a part of that religion. Over the centuries, civilizations have risen and fallen. Cultures have thrived and grown stagnant and disappeared. Only one stands above history: the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord Jesus Christ, the only safe place. So if all of this is true, and if Jesus Christ truly is the only safe place, and if anywhere else you turn is always going to fail you, and if every time you try to depend upon yourself, you're going to find out you're not sufficient, and if it is true that Christ and Christ alone is the only hope you have in this world, and He is, then there's a question that you need to ask yourself. And that question is simply this: how can I find that safe place? Well, let me suggest a few things. Number one, you have to confess that you need Him. Listen, as long as you think you can live a Christ plus life, yeah, I will trust Christ, plus I'll trust myself. I'll trust Christ, plus I'll believe other things that I'm hearing. I'll trust Christ, plus I'll believe what the world around me is trying to do. Let me tell you something. Until you come to the point of recognizing, I don't need Christ, plus I need Christ, you're in trouble. You have to admit you can't take care of yourself. Stop acting like you're big enough or strong enough. Turn to Jesus alone. The only way to Christ is the way of personal faith. He is the only safe place. He's the only safe place for the world. He's the only safe place for the church. But let me tell you, He is the only safe place for you. And that's what really matters when it comes down to the nub of it. So you have to find your safety being found in Him. Paul confessed that. He said to be found in Him. My question for you is, has that ever become your answer? Are you found in Him? Not as a sometimes thing, as an all the time thing. Those permanent changes that we heard about in our children's message a while ago. You need to know that when you trust the Lord with everything, you're in the safest place in the world. Things are going to happen. Things as horrible as 9/11. And things as personal as the things that have shaken your own world upside down. But I'm here to testify this morning, Jesus Christ is the only safe place. There's nowhere else to turn. You can either confess that and believe it right now, or you can wait until that moment comes when you recognize everything's been stripped away. And all of those things that you thought were so sufficient have proven themselves to be empty. But you're going to need to trust Him. He's the only safe place. So if you're here this morning and you're not a believer and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you've thought it would be enough to just go to church or to be religious or to try to live a good life, but you don't find yourself in Him, you need to know today's the day you need to settle that issue. When we stand and sing our invitation in a minute, I would just urge you to come. Come down here and give your life to Jesus. I'll be here. Dr. Hutchins will be here. We would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the Savior, the only safe place. Or maybe today God is calling you to bring your membership to First Baptist Church, to plant yourself, because you recognize that this is the place where they're going to teach me about the one who is the only safe place in the world. Or maybe there's another decision. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God calls, you come. Final prayer and our closing song, and then our ladies are going to be making their way downstairs for a very special women's ministry luncheon, and I know you're going to have a great time. And then we'll be back tonight. Now remember again, tonight, a very special time in place of our evening worship time, we're going to be focusing on beginning preparations for First Lights. Now you may be saying to yourself, well, that means I don't need to be here because I'm not a singer. I'm not a singer either. But there's a lot of ways that all of us can be used. And I encourage you to come and find out how you can be part of what God used last year in an amazing way. And we look forward again this year as we try to bring a witness for Christ to our community in a way that makes everybody feel safe and secure. It's going to be a good time. And I hope you're here in the fellowship hall at 5 o'clock. Let's bow together for our final prayer. And then we'll sing our way home. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the only safe place. Because, Lord, we live in a scary world where bad things can happen to good people. And, Father, where things can happen that are beyond our control. And, Lord, if we put our faith in anything outside of Jesus, it's going to be insufficient. So thank you, Lord, that we are people who find our sufficiency in Christ alone, in whose name we pray. Amen.